Osborne on the wings of love.
He signed us live, 2 feet in front of me, Mason Osborne.
Is that right?
Hanging.
What a voice.
Oh, what a great guy. You got to get him back singing the anthem at Laker games.
He has a big dance song, too. What's his big dance song? Jeffrey Osborne. He's got another hit that's a big dance song.
When he was the lead singer of LTD, that was a big dance
song.
Back
in, that's called Back in Love Again is the song you're thinking about.
You're right.
The one he had was... Stay With Me Tonight was his
Stay
big
with me
dance
tonight.
Hit.
That was a gigantic record, yeah.
Well, he still could do it. I think he's 74, and he's still...
Is he really 74?
He still brings that energy and still got that great voice.
He's how old are you again?
67. Do I look it?
You, Michael, you look great.
467.
467. You don't look a day over 67.
I'll take it.
Exactly.
All right, so LeBron was asked by, of all people, Alan Sliwa.
From the Daily Laker Show.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to try and play this off of my computer. This is going to sound a little weird, but here, listen to this.
I like your hypothetical about Sliwa.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. John's going to play something.
If I can. He, Mace.
I got something.
All right, here.
So here we go.
Okay, here we go.
This is Alan.
Starting five. Who are you putting in that top five?
All time starting five for the Lakers. I'm going Magic at the one, Jerry West at the two, Kobe at the three, myself at the four, and Shaq at the five. I mean, Shaq is so dominant.
Starting
okay,
five.
Okay, so yeah, there it is. There was. Now, he left out Kareem, Michael. Can you do an all-time starting five? There's nobody on that list that's not in the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
So hold on just 1 second. So do you know when that was from?
No.
No.
That was from 2019.
Oh, well, good.
Media Day.
Okay.
It's all
just
right.
So you know.
Okay.
Just so you know. It's our video, so you can see that on ESPN Los Angeles.
Okay.
Okay.
So somebody just dragged it out.
Yeah. It's a story today.
Michael, all five of those guys have impeccable credentials.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But okay. No Kareem. Can you do an all-time Lakers starting five without Kareem?
Let me put it this way. You cannot do an all-time NBA starting five without Kareem.
Not only Lakers.
Exactly.
Like NBA, period.
NBA, period. The history of the league, Kareem is your starting center. So I understand LeBron's showing respect towards Shaq, and Shaq is one of the all-time greats. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's doubting that. But if you are going to start and name the first player as you make your all-time Laker starting five, Kareem's name and Magic's name have to be the first two names to come up first.
Okay, now.
Yeah, Kareem, Magic, and Kobe are like,
that's automatic.
Let me throw this out.
And also, you cannot move Kobe to three. You got to put him at the positions.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, so your Jerry West is out for you?
Yes, that's the start.
So who's your five?
My five all-time, Magic and Kobe in the backcourt. I mean, that's not even open for debate. Front court, LeBron.
Yep.
Kareem at center. Elgin Baylor as the other forward.
Ahead of Worthy, ahead of AD.
Yeah, because if you ask basketball historians who was a better player, Elgin Baylor or James Worthy, 95% of them say Elgin.
Now, I've said for years, if you give me all the ex-Lakers and I give you every other team, all the 29 teams, my team would beat you.
Yes.
That the Lakers' history is that good.
Yep.
But, Mace, remember when during the pandemic there were no sports going on?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So we played NBA 2K against each other, and everybody drafted Lakers. It was only Lakers. And so Mason, I took Kareem. I had Kareem and Elgin.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mason took Shaq.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
Shaq.
Nobody could check Shaq.
Nobody. Shaq scored
Shaq dominated Wilt.
Fouled.
He dominated Kareem.
Yep.
He dominated Mikan.
He was a beast.
He dominated LeBron.
Yep.
He remember that? And so maybe LeBron's right.
No, because Kareem was in the last 2 minutes. Last minute, you can give the ball to Kareem. He can knock down three.
Well, the other thing is longevity, the history, more points than anybody in the history of the league. I mean,
14 years, five championships. Shaq, 8 years, three.
So I was thinking, last night I started studying for, I have just a mountain of homework coming up.
You got the Sacramento throwdown on Monday.
Right. So I started studying for Sacramento.
Okay. The rest of that game here.
Here. And then we go to Vegas the next day. You ready to go to Vegas?
No.
Why not?
Is that like where they bring all the sponsors and all that stuff?
I'm not a Vegas guy like me.
We used to go to that.
Well, you know, Michael, we have two games there this year. We next Tuesday, we fly to Vegas, and then we have games Wednesday and Thursday in Vegas. But I was thinking about, I think the biggest blown draft pick in the history of the NBA is
Marvin Bagley.
No, that's where I was going to. But
it's one of them.
No, I think it's Portland taking – Mike was on this team.
Oh, sure.
Portland taking Sam Bowie because they felt like they already had Michael Jordan – or already had Clyde Drexler. Yeah.
And they didn't needed another
– They needed another wing. And Stu Inman, who was the GM in Portland, was friends with Bobby Knight, who had just got done coaching the Olympics. And he called his buddy Inman and he said, Stu, you have to take Michael Jordan. And Stu said, I'd love to, coach, but we need a big guy. I need a center. We already have Clyde Drexler. Him and Michael play the same position. I need to take a center, so I'm going to take Sam Bowie. And Bobby Knight said, Stu, play Jordan at center. Yeah. He's the best basketball player I have ever seen.
Yeah, they're passing a kidney stone.
And Inman wouldn't do it. So I think that's number one of blown draft picks. But, Michael, here's my question. Marvin Bagley, number two, ahead of Luka. Is that number two? Is that the second worst miss of a draft pick? Sacramento passing on Luka to take Marvin Bagley. They've already traded him. They traded him to Detroit.
Yeah, because I only want to say what possible the other number two probably is. So I'll take that one.
What is the other possible?
I don't want to bring it up.
What do you mean?
Just let's just move
no,
on.
No, you
we
can't
say
do
whatever
that.
We want on the show. You speak.
Give me speak. The year.
No, I don't want to bring it up, guys.
Come on. Michael, this is not a show where you can hold back. You have to go there, man.
And plus, it can't be an original thought. Other people have to have thought agreed with you on this.
You have to forgive me, but I refuse to bring it up.
Is it you? Is it the
Will
year
you
shut
up?
Drafted?
All right. Is it? Oh, it is.
Who got drafted after you?
We don't have to bring it up. Let's forget about it.
I'm looking it up if you don't tell me right now.
I'm looking
it's
it up.
It's not on
already.
The internet.
Even if
the internet wasn't around.
Even if
back
he does
then.
Tell me, I'm looking it up.
It wasn't around back then, so it can't be on the internet.
I'm trying to think of was there like a super Hall of Fame
no,
guy taken?
No,
there had to
you?
Have been.
No, not at all.
I've never seen Michael like this before.
Because I don't like the subject.
Okay.
All right. First overall pick.
This is the most sensitive I've ever seen.
All right. I have pulled up the 1978 NBA draft.
Okay. So let's see who.
How did that? I thought that wasn't on there.
No, that's everything's on the internet, Michael.
Larry Bird.
Oh, you said it.
Larry Bird. And it was kind of a genius move. By the Celtics, Mace. They took him after his junior year.
Yeah, he had one more year.
And back there, the rules were, if you want to blow your draft pick for a guy that you're not going to see for a year, it's up to you.
Wow.
And Red Auerbach said, this guy's so good, I'll blow my overall pick.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Which one is a bigger blown draft pick? Me over Bird or Bagley over Luka?
I think it might be you over Bird.
I think it's you over Bird, yeah.
But, Michael,
Luka's
Bird, I don't know a lot of teams that would have done what Red Auerbach did. Back then, that was a pretty bold move, right?
Four or five other teams had a chance to do the same thing that the Celtics
did. All right,
so
here's how that draft went. Michael went number one to Portland. Phil Ford, number two, to the Kansas City, now Sacramento Kings. Rick Roby, number three, to Indiana.
Ooh.
Michael Ray Richardson, number four, to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Purvis Short, number five, to the Celtics. Or to the Warriors, and Larry Bird, number six to the Celtics.
Can you imagine?
Six.
But Larry Bird, you can't do it anymore, right? Like, you can't take a guy a year out and maintain his right.
So when you look at it, Mace, the Blazers passed up a chance to draft Bird and Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
They did. 5 years apart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you imagine? And let's say they both drafted both those guys.
Yep.
Would Magic and Showtime have won five rings?
Sliding doors, man. Sliding doors. I don't know.
What do you think, Ireland?
I don't think so.
Because I brought this up on the bus.
Portland would have Jordan and Bird.
And Bird.
And whoever else they fill in around him.
No. The Lakers wouldn't have dominated the 80s that way.
I brought this up with
Because the Celtics wouldn't have Bird.
I brought this up with Magic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I brought this up with Michael Cooper and Worthy in Hawaii. I said, fellas, if we would have drafted Jordan when he came out, and we'd have had.
We meaning Portland.
Portland. Yeah. And we would have had Jordan, Drexler, and Fat Lever in the backcourt. Remember Fat Lever?
Sure.
Triple-double point guard. See, do you think you guys would have won five rings at Showtime era?
They all said yes, right?
Of course they did. But do you guys think they would have won five? Do you think Blazers would have won a couple at least?
Yep, Blazers would have won a couple.
Yeah.
There's no question they
Bird would've. And Jordan on the same team?
Bird and Jordan.
Or just if we would have drafted Jordan and didn't have Bird. Jordan,
Jordan alone.
Which backcourt?
So you would have had Jordan, Drexler.
Who else was Fat Lever.
Was Maurice Lucas on that team?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, that team would have got to the finals at least once.
No. Maurice Lucas was gone by then. Yeah, he was gone by then. Okay, Mace, let me ask you this.
Okay.
I brought this up with the Laker backcourt, too. Of course, they did not agree. Mm-hmm. Which backcourt would have been better? Cooper, Byron, Magic, Drexler, Jordan, Lever.
Cooper,
Byron, Magic. Magic.
It's close.
Jordan, Drexler, Fat Lever.
Well,
Fat Lever, folks, if you're going to remember,
two Hall of Famers for Portland, one for the Lakers.
Yeah, and Fat Lever was the kind of guy to get triple doubles.
Although I think Cooper's going to get
Portland,
in.
Portland gets over. Portland gets over.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And Cooper will get in next year.
Hey, Bergman just came up with another one that we forgot. Greg, what's the other one we forgot?
Greg Oden over Kevin Durant.
No. Because you know why?
That was awful.
Only because Oden got hurt, not because he couldn't play.
Well, Oden was hurt his whole career.
Yeah, he was the consensus number one that year. Durant, of course, turned out to be an all-time great, but Oden would have been a stud if he wouldn't have got hurt.
Were you the consensus number one pick?
That year? No, it was between me and Rick Roby and Phil Ford, so between the three of us.
And everybody. Oh, and Boston signed Bird a year earlier.
They drafted him
a year early. They drafted him a year early and had a year to sign him, and they got it done before the next draft.
He was a fifth-year senior at Indiana State because he sat out a year when he left Indiana. So that's why he was eligible for the draft that year. His 4 years were up, but he had one more year of eligibility. So Red Auerbach says, I'll wait for him. So they drafted him and waited for him.
Yeah, that's very smart. Pretty brilliant.
Very smart. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, here's what I want to do. John, you came across some NFL ratings in Los Angeles that I think are pretty fascinating. Plus, there is at least one musical artist who's tired of signing autographs and says he won't do it anymore.
Is it me? Because I'm not. I'll do it. I'll keep signing.
You will keep signing. Yeah. No, this guy says no. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ben E. King would have been his birthday today. The reason I pulled this up is...
Any relation to BB?
No. The reason I pulled this up is I thought of it right away. It is one of the few songs to have charted twice. It charted in 1968, and then it charted in 1986 when the movie Stand By Me came out.
Well, that's like...
It's very rare that records get re-released or hit the charts again.
All right. Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yep.
Went to number one in 3 different years.
Yeah.
All right. The first time when it came out. The second time is the one nobody gets. When Wayne's World came out.
Oh, wow.
Remember? In the
yeah.
And then when Freddie Mercury died. I may have set the order mixed up between 2 and 3.
Yeah. There are songs that have done it. A lot of times when somebody passes away, their music hits it big. Or hits it big again.
Yeah,
like
that happens on iTunes. If you look on iTunes, when you know David Bowie and Prince and Tom Petty died, they go to number one on the sales.
Yeah, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You in 92 and 2012. Purple Rain got re-released after Prince
Michael,
died.
Michael, when you were working in Minnesota, did you ever meet Prince?
No, I never got a chance to meet him. I always wanted to.
He came to some of the games, right?
Did he really?
Yeah, he sat a few feet away from me. I always wanted to go over there and shake his little hand.
Yeah, he was like 5'5", right?
Shake his little hand. Yeah,
he looked like Little Sweet. You know Little Sweet, that commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, for Dr.
Like
Pepper.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper.
You just had Jimmy Jam on the Culture Pop podcast. He was, Michael and I got to know him when he was a season ticket holder for the Wolves in Minnesota.
At the
time, Jimmy and Kevin Garnett were married to sisters. I think Jimmy still is. Kevin isn't.
Yeah.
But so we see Jimmy at the Wolves games all the
Jimmy,
time.
Jimmy, by the way, being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in December of this year. Him and Terry Lewis together.
Nice.
Well-deserved super mega hit producers for years and years.
By the way, somebody sent me a list of benevolent dictators. There are several.
Oh, are there benevolent dictators?
Impossible.
Boss Amanda.
Mustafa Alturik.
What? Oh, yeah, old Mustafa.
Was a benevolent dictator, leadership of the Turkish War of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
Josip Broz Tito.
Yeah.
Tito.
Socialist
Tito
Federal
was a bad
Republic
guy.
Yeah.
Yugoslavia. Yeah, he was a bad guy.
Yeah, he killed people.
They say, they say viewed as a unifying symbol.
Yeah, by the gun.
Sure.
You better vote for me or else.
The moment he was gone, they became four different countries.
Lee Kuan Yew.
Oh, yeah, Lee Kuan
Yew. In Singapore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the most recent one, France Albert René. Has been characterized as a prime example of a benevolent dictator.
Which country?
Seychelles.
Oh, the Seychelles.
Big E says, what about Darko over Melo, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh?
Well, that's in the top five. That
was
might be on the
LeBron draft.
Yeah.
Was that the LeBron draft and the
LeBron
Darko draft?
LeBron went one.
Yeah.
Darko, two. The funny thing was, Darko was drafted by the Pistons, and their director of international
scouting,
Tony Ronzoni, came on with us 5 years after that.
I love that story.
And Tony, to this day, said, guys, and he'll completely argue with you over it, you ask anybody in the NBA at that time, there is not an executive in the NBA who wouldn't have taken
but
Darko.
But
did
you
second.
Ask him if he would do the draft again, he'd do the same deal?
Yeah.
And he said what?
Yeah, he said,
he's a dope.
Knowing what he knows now.
And he goes, I would do it.
He would do it.
He was too much of a package of skills to pass up.
We had him on the air and said, if you had it to do over again, he said he'd do it the same way.
Knowing
what he knew, that he's stupidity.
Yeah.
By the way, Darko is either the youngest or the second youngest guy ever to win an NBA championship ring.
Taylor Horton Tucker is the youngest American ever.
There you go.
Let's see. This is a good one. Ralph's World says, Vitaly Potapenko at 12 over Kobe at 13
in
1996.
You can go back and look at that whole draft and say anybody who passed on Kobe.
Lonzo Ball and Jason Tatum, says Dan Peralta.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
There's been some monumental ones, but the three worst, I think, are
on the
Jordan
list.
Being going second, Bird, me over Bird, and then Bagley over Luka, especially since Vlade Divac knew Luka and knew what he was about.
So... All right, I want to get to this. John, you pulled out from the Twitter some ratings for the NFL. And, you know, I've talked a lot about this. You know, obviously, I'm a huge Rams fan, season ticket holder. I got to be at the Super Bowl last year, didn't miss a game last year. This year I missed because of COVID, but I'm at every game. So I think that the Rams are beginning to get a real hold of Los Angeles as an NFL franchise. And I fully acknowledge, like when I went to the Rams-Niners games last year, a lot of Niners fans, totally acknowledge that. It's going to take some time. But I think the Rams are getting there. That Lombardi Trophy does have a gigantic impact on fans in Los Angeles. Do you think, Michael, that the Rams are now officially where do they rank in terms of all the teams we have?
That's
in Los
a great
Angeles.
Question. Number one is the Lakers. Number
yep.
two are the Dodgers.
Yep.
Number three is up for debate between SC football and the Rams. But I think the Rams might be catching up to SC football.
Yeah, or I think the Rams probably surpassed college football, surpassed the Trojans. But I do think that this year the Trojans have a shot.
Mm-hmm. You know what they've
got a shot.
Take them off the stupid Pac-12 network. They're at an ESPN this week, so that'll be good. So here's the tweet that you're referencing from John Orrand at Sports Business Journal. NFL ratings in Los Angeles, in our market, through week three. Rams lead the way. They're averaging a rating of 9, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
All other teams that aren't the Rams or the Chargers, 7.3.
Okay.
The Chargers, 6.7.
Wow.
Which means other teams get more eyeballs than the Chargers. So put on an average game between two, whoever you want, San Francisco, Arizona.
By the way, where do the Raiders fit into that? The Raiders are part of the 6.7?
He didn't include part of the 7.3.
7.3.
Yeah, he didn't include them specifically in this. But I find it interesting. I don't think the Chargers will ever leave because you can make too much money being in Los Angeles. But they really don't have a base, like a fan base that cares.
And for whatever reason, they seem to be snake bit. Right?
Yeah, they're getting a ton of injuries.
Year after year, they seem to be snake bit. If they're healthy, it's a really good team. But I think that in the end, there's no fan base. There won't be a fan base. Although I'll tell you what, one thing Kaplan said that's interesting. He said people in San Diego have begun to adopt the Chargers again, even though they moved to Los Angeles. So maybe that's where the fan. But the Jacksonville game on Sunday, not sold out. It was, of course, Jacksonville doesn't travel. You could get into that game for $15 or $20. That says a lot about.
Well, remember, Michael, we all thought the AFC West was going to be one of the great divisions of all time with the Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders, and Broncos. And now only one team in that division has a winning record.
Yeah.
The Chiefs.
By the way,
Broncos are two, right?
Broncos are two and one. Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Monday Night Football game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Cowboy fans at MetLife Stadium in New York?
Yeah, they were Cowboy fans.
They were in Dallas.
Cowboy fans.
They're coming here.
We've got a game with them in 2 weeks, and I fully anticipate we're going to be overrun by
50-50,
Blue Stars.
Right?
Yeah, 50-50. Yeah, jeez. Cowboy. Of all the teams, we've got the Raiders and we've got the Cowboys coming in.
Last year, the Cowboys came in to play the Chargers at SoFi, and it was 75% Cowboy fans.
Yeah. You know who they should have to do the coin flip for that game?
Mm.
Michael Cooper. You know why?
Why?
It's going to be the game of the Cooper Rush and the Cooper Cup.
There you go.
All right.
The Cooper Bowl.
Well, Cooper Rush won't be playing then.
Yes, he will.
I didn't play.
No, you don't think Dak will be back by then?
He's going to rush back because Cooper Rush is going to make him rush back.
Do you think there are a lot of we're moving on. Do you think there are a lot of lip readers amongst NFL coaches?
Oh yeah, of course.
You think there are?
I think there are a lot of lip readers among NFL fans.
Like this, with the play card,
I know,
up here.
It's ridiculous.
It's so stupid. You know what it reminds me of?
They do it in baseball when they go out to talk to the pitcher.
You'll remember this, John. In Casino, do you remember them? The FBI monitoring Joe Pesci's character, and they would hold their hands up to the face and go, I don't know why these guys are following us. This is the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they're doing now in the NFL. Nobody's reading lips at an NFL game.
They do. Why do they put their gloves over their mouth when baseball players talk to each other?
They do. Yeah. It's overkill, right?
I know, it is.
You don't actually, nobody's actually reading your lips.
It'd
at
be
that
hard
point.
To do.
All right. So a guy named Billy Strings, who I have no idea who he is. Bergman's a gigantic fan of Billy Strings.
My favorite artist, Billy Strings.
What do we know him from?
Does he play the drums?
Pirouette for Two.
Does not play the drums.
What the hell is Pirouette for Two?
No idea.
No, is that just what popped into your head?
That was exactly what popped into my head.
So his big hit, Pirouette for Two. So
and Mason's the gay one.
He said...
So, jeez, the two of you back there on the right side. My God.
Billy Strings says that he will no longer sign autographs.
Why?
Because he says
that's okay. I wouldn't ask him. I don't know who he is.
Guys come up to him all the time. He says at airports everywhere, and they say, "Can you sign this album and this thing and this thing?" And then 10 minutes later, it's all on eBay.
Right.
That's what people are doing. That's why, like Bryan Cranston told me, he's not signing any more autographs because when he does it, it winds up on eBay, and somebody's just trying to turn a quick profit. Now, are they doing something wrong by taking this autograph and then putting it on eBay?
Yeah, I mean...
It's not right?
I think it's a little disingenuous. Mike Trout was getting a lot of heat because there's a video running around of two little kids saying, hey, Mr. Trout, will you sign? Will you sign? He was getting on a bus.
Right.
And he said, I don't have time, guys, sorry. And he got on the bus.
What a jerk move to put that video up.
But everybody said that they did a little digging, and it was somebody's kids that collects autographs and sells them.
Yes.
So, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it just sucks. I would do a selfie with... Nobody's selling our autographs. But selfies, I think, are okay.
Well,
you can't resell
Seinfeld
a selfie.
Has the philosophy of if you come up and ask him to sign something or ask him to take a picture, he'll say no, but he'll say, I'll have a conversation with you.
Oh, please, who's got time for that?
And everybody doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, what do you say to Seinfeld? He was backstage when I went to see... Network on Broadway, and he was I was like tongue tied. I couldn't say anything. Like, that's Jerry Seinfeld, right? I didn't even know what to say. Who was backstage when you were there?
Vince Gilligan.
Oh God.
Who?
The guy who created Breaking Bad
and Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and it couldn't have been nicer.
Do you see his next project is Rhea Seehorn? is the star.
It's Ray, isn't
Ray,
it?
Ray yeah. Seahorn. She's the star of it. Gilligan is producing it, and it's going to be on Netflix. And then I saw Bob Odenkirk just announce a new show. So we won't have to go long without them. Did you watch Better Call Saul?
Never seen it.
Yeah, you're missing out. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
very good.
It's better than Bonanza.
Who's got time to
That's
watch
That's what they say, better than Bonanza.
I don't know about that.
It tops Gunsmoke, Michael.
How do you guys find time to watch all these shows?
Michael.
I don't sleep. That's how I find time.
Mace, I mean, you're busy. You got time to watch as many shows as Ireland?
I do, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
so you just get home and veg out. Just binge
veg out might be not the right word.
Well, you don't have,
let's just say he doesn't drive anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what we discovered, Michael? I'm the only one around. I'm not the only one around here who...
imbibes?
Who imbibes, yeah.
Who else does?
Well, most hosts.
Travis.
Travis does? Travis?
Sliwa.
No, not Sliwa.
Yeah, they all say they do.
John Ireland?
No, I take gummies to sleep. So if that counts, then
but that counts.
Always so Cap, and Sedano
Cap and Sedano
say
both.
They like weed.
Really?
Travis says he likes weed.
So everybody around is a weed head.
Michael, you and me, let's go get stoned.
I've never tried it. I've never done it.
We should do it.
I was offered it many times, Jorge. Jorge used to get high, too.
I've never done it.
You've never tried it?
Never tried it. Never done it.
Wow. Yep. What about you, Bergie?
Oh, I did for a long time. Mm. I haven't smoked in 20 years, though.
The weirdest thing is I never used cannabis until I was like 35 years old.
What made you
never
start?
Tried it.
What made you start?
That job I had in New York at WNEW. Yeah. That would drive anybody to get stoned. Yeah, that's when I started. Was
could
in my
you
30s.
Stop right now and never do it again?
Yeah, if I could.
You could.
Yeah.
Try it.
No.
You don't want to.
Why do it?
Well, so you won't be stoned.
After the show.
So you can be sober.
After the show, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do my workout. I'm going to go home. I'm going to put on some, I don't think we got any sports tonight. Mm-hmm. Dodgers, I guess. And get stoned. What's wrong with that?
Remember, you guys, I said I was doing homework for the Sacramento Kings? Harrison Barnes, who you know, Michael, claims, and he seems like a pretty stand-up guy, so I'm sure it's true, he'd never had a sip of alcohol until the Warriors won the title in 2015.
Really?
Really?
That was it. Yeah, never had a sip. You've always said that you like him. If you had a daughter, you'd want him to go out with Harrison
Barnes.
He's
a young man. Do you want your daughter to go with if she's heterosexual?
Yeah, well, I mean.
Well, you got to put that in, Mace, these days.
Why do we need to put that in?
Because not everybody's hetero.
Pronouns are a thing.
That's right.
I understand.
Is it me or are there more gay references on the show?
Last couple days.
Because one time I asked a young lady why she wasn't going out with some guy, wasn't asking her out because she was really pretty, and she says, well, I'm gay. Well, you never know, Mace. See?
See?
You see?
I don't even know.
You never know these days.
I don't even know.
I got another joke for you, Mace.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
All right, let's go.
A priest and a nun are caught in a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
They find a deserted cabin and they take shelter and they find a sleeping bag and bed and blankets.
Mm-hmm.
The priest takes the sleeping bag. The nun takes the bed. Later, the nun says, Father, I'm cold. The priest gives her more blankets and asks her, is that better? The nun says, yes, much better. Later, the nun says again, Father, I'm still cold. The priest gives her more blankets. Again, better, he asks. Yes, better, says the nun. Good.
That's totally on me.
Good, let's go get some sleep, the priest says. Then again, the priest hears, Father, I'm still cold, says the nun. By this time, frustrated, the priest says, look, the only people that will know what happened here tonight are you, me, and God. So let's pretend we're married. The nun says, okay, let's pretend we're married. Then the priest says, good, get your own damn blanket.
I like that one.
These jokes take so long to get to the
Mace has a dirty mind. He was thinking it was going somewhere else.
Joke. Michael,
you lost Mason after. Mason will only read USA Today because they
have charts and graphs. I love that.
Get your own colorful charts. He told us to get your own blanket because you're not protecting the man.
I like it. Mace. TLDR.
See, Carlo liked it.
TLDL. Too long, don't listen. All right, coming up next for you. Let's see. Let's do this. Yahoo has ranked the top 51 animated movies of all time. Animated movies. So I've got one that's a clear number one for me.
Okay.
Do you have one that's a clear number one for you?
Easy.
Michael, do you watch animated movies?
Oh, yeah, I got one.
Okay, good. Jorge, you've got one,
yeah.
Okay, we'll do that coming up next. Then we got some Bobcat coming up for you, so make sure you stay here for that. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There it is. This is a great record. This is a great jam.
Is this Jeffrey Osborne?
This is Jeffrey Osborne. Yeah, this was his big sort of dance thing that he had.
Damn, Michael, did he do the woo-woo song and have you guys do the woo-woo?
Exactly. Everybody was doing it. I hid in the back, so I wanted to do it. Pat Riley did it. Magic did it. Byron Scott. A couple of the wives there, they did it. Kurt Rambis got up there. And instead of saying woo-woo-woo, he pointed at Bob McAdoo and says, can you do-do-do?
I like it.
Good for Kurt.
I like Kurt it.
He's a wild man.
All right, so, Michael, you've tried to tell some jokes today.
What do you mean tried?
I think they've been excellent jokes.
Thank you.
They've been very long.
Well, get your
they have been long. I
TLDL,
will give you that.
Too long, don't listen. So Bergman had a joke. He told me a joke today. I think this is a very funny joke.
All right, pressure's on, Greg. Let's go.
All right, so how did the hipster burn his mouth?
How?
He drank coffee before it was cool.
I think that's a great joke.
That's a great joke.
It's a very funny joke. Yeah, I like that one.
Bergman sent me some today, too.
Yeah.
You sent Michael.
I sent Michael some.
Sends Michael jokes.
Yeah.
Says he kid asks.
Did you
his
send
dad,
him the one about the nun, the priest, the Irishman,
no,
the Jew?
No,
the,
that was all
was.
Michael.
I don't think there was a Jew in there, but why not?
How about this one, Mace?
Yep.
Guy got ran over by a rental car.
Okay.
Doctor says, "How did it feel?" He said, "It hurts a lot."
Oh yeah.
All right. You got like that one on Mace.
That was I like that one.
What did the daddy buffalo say to the baby buffalo?
I don't know what.
Bye, son.
Bye, son. Bison. Bye, son.
Bison.
Bison.
I'm surprised we haven't heard that at a Thunder game.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
their
a good
mascot
joke. That's
a good bison?
Joke.
Yeah.
I like that one. See, Greg's jokes are funnier than your jokes.
Only because they're shorter.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They are. They're one-liners. All right, so favorite animated film of all time. Yahoo has put out a
I wonder
list.
If yours and mine is the same.
I guarantee you it's not.
Okay. Mine is Finding Nemo.
It's a great movie.
Is it anywhere on that list?
It is on the list. It is number 8.
8?
Yep, number 8.
Michael, what's
eight.
The greatest animated movie of all time?
If it's number 1, then the list is not valid. It's got to be Toy Story.
Toy Story is number...
That is an excellent choice.
Yeah. 5.
5?
Yep.
What could be better than
so
that?
So we have 9 and 5. What's yours, Mace?
Mine is well down the list, but it's one that I love, is Coco. Coco just makes me cry. So
Jorge,
good.
Greatest animated film of all time is what?
I'm going to say A Bug's Life. I love that one.
Yeah, you do love Bug's Life.
Bergman, greatest animated film of all time is what?
My favorite is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ooh, that's good.
Is
that's
that,
a that's, now, that's is stop, that, motion. That's stop motion. That's not animated.
Doesn't count?
No, it's stop motion.
What about The Iron Giant?
Oh, Vin Diesel.
Yeah, the Iron Giant is amazing.
Have you ever seen
is the Iron Giant as good as Ernest Scared Stupid?
Way better. Ernest Scared Stupid is horrifying.
But Shrek is number 10.
Wow.
They put olden timey commercial or animated films like
what was that new Spider-Man?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
Pinocchio. Creepy. That's so I hate creepy.
Why,
so
why is it creepy?
That's
you like
an
puppets?
Old man. He's making a boy for himself. It's weird.
God, there was such disdain for Geppetto. That was like, I think that's the most angst anyone has ever thrown at
he's
Geppetto.
He's a son, mate. He's not a partner.
Oh, it's so weird. Beauty and the Beast, number 5. That's a great one.
Yeah. Not as good as Finding Nemo.
By the way, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is right up there.
That's there.
That is the best Spider-Man movie there is.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I agree.
The Pixar movies need to be ranked higher. I mean,
they've got Bambi in there. They've got Fantasia in there. You ever get stoned to watch Fantasia? I mean, let me tell you
Oh, back in the day.
Cars is better than half these things you're mentioning. Wall-E is good. Up is really good.
Up is number 13. Wall-E is number 14.
Yeah. Ratatouille should be in there.
Ratatouille is in there. Ratatouille is number 15.
You ever see a Goofy movie? That's a great one, too.
A Goofy movie movie. You call that's yeah, what that's what you.
It's so that's good. How you Max
measure Max and Goofy.
That's how you measure greatness. Goofy movie.
Hey, you go watch the Goofy movie. It's a great father and
is
son
that
story.
Don't hold a Goofy movie.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, they go on a road trip. It's fantastic. Powerline. Oh yeah, good stuff.
We'll bump back with the music.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Very unsure. Yeah.
That was a very
that your idea of greatness. You know, some people greatness would say, you know, I don't know, Jackie Robinson, Bergman's idea, Goofy movie.
By the way, somebody is going to tweet me like, I love the Goofy movie.
Yeah, watch, that person's watch. Lost. Yeah.
You guys yeah. lost.
That
Toy Story ranks the highest of all the ones we've chosen, right? Toy Story is number 5. Nobody's above that, right?
From what are the top? What are the top 4? Were those ones you were mentioning, like Snow White and Pinocchio, that the top?
Yeah. Here's the top 10 in order. Number 1 is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Overrated.
Yeah. It
is. Number 2, Pinocchio.
Super overrated.
I know how I feel about that one. Number 3, an animated film. Called Spirited Away, which is a great movie. It's by Miyazaki.
Haven't seen
but
it.
But it's good. Okay. It's fancy. Sleeping Beauty is number 4.
Oh, please.
Beauty and the Beast is number 5. Bambi is number 6.
What about Lion King?
Finding Nemo, number 7.
Oh, it's 7. Okay.
Fantasia, number 8.
Ooh, the colors, the lights.
Where's
so
Lion
good.
King?
Number 9 is the Toy Story series. Mm. The whole series of movies, and number 10 is Shrek. I don't see
Lion King.
I don't see Lion King.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't see Lion King. Lion King is number 18 down the list.
Okay. Hey, John, who's Mackenzie Scott?
She is the widow of Jeff Bezos.
The widow?
No, widow.
The ex-wife. Yeah.
The divorced wife of Jeff Bezos.
She's worth $37 billion.
She just filed for divorce from her new billionaire philanthropist. So
No. The new guy was a teacher. He wasn't that guy is going to get away with Greg.
Well, I'm sure there was a big prenup.
Greg.
This is why I'm bringing it up.
You got to move, man. This is, how much is she worth, Michael?
$37 billion.
Greg, you would take one of that $37 billion and be happy.
Is her name Mackenzie
Scott?
Mackenzie Scott.
Wait, yes. That marriage didn't even last a year, I don't think.
I mean, it doesn't have to.
Yeah. I'm sure there was a huge prenup.
It was prenup, man.
You kidding me?
He gets nothing.
He's not getting half of anything.
You know what? Prenups are not as common. I remember I said to my dad before I got married, hey, Dad, should I get a prenup? And he laughed at me. He goes, yeah, go ahead and try. I brought it up to Lisa, and she didn't talk to me for 2 days.
What if you were worth $1 billion? Would he tell you not to?
I don't know.
Yeah, what would your dad have said?
Well, Michael, you're
a
good person to ask. If Clay gets married, he's got, you know, he's worth $200 million plus. Mm-hmm. Would you tell him to get a prenup?
Oh, yes, definitely.
You don't have one.
Well, I wasn't worth $200 million, but you're right. That's a good question. If I was worth $200 million now, knowing Julie the way I know her, know what kind of character she had, I probably would not ask her
there
for
one. There
you go. Because she seemed really genuine.
And,
you
and Julie both have been, you've been open about how you really want your boys to find the right girl, and if they find one that you really like, I don't think you would insist on a prenup.
Yeah,
we've been waiting a long time for you to find a girl like this.
Right.
Go for it.
Yeah, if you found someone the character.
What if it was somebody who slid into his DMs?
Oh, do you have to bring that up? This is
what professional athletes live with, right?
I know.
So one of my favorite things is when Mike and I do a game, like we're doing the opener, Golden State.
Yeah, right.
So we'll see. What is Steph's wife, Aisha?
Aisha.
So
Aisha will come over and Michael will say, Aisha, get over here. She'll go, oh, hi, Michael. Good to see you. I thought you were going to set up Clay with one of your church-going friends.
That's right.
And she goes, I'm trying. Yeah. Yeah. These guys don't always go for my friends.
Yeah.
I'm trying, though. I'm putting it out there. Oh.
You should see how many tweets I'm getting about Goofy Movie right now.
Oh, please.
Oh, really? Goofy Movie's
called it... They called it the Citizen Kane of animated movies.
It's not the Citizen Kane of animated movies.
Anyone who says that has not seen Citizen Kane. I can tell you that.
I'm with you. Goofy Movie is great.
Trey G writes this. MT is getting his jokes from the Twitter handle at Dad Say Jokes.
Yes.
I don't know.
Dad Says Jokes.
Could
is that
be.
Where you're getting him?
Could be.
Yeah, could be. All right, coming up next for you is Bobcat Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. By the way, a special sponsor for Bobcat today. It is brought to you by A Goofy Movie.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best movies of all time from Disney.
All time.
In the Mason Ireland Mafia.
Greg says best movie of all time.
Yeah. I said one of the best. And just because you haven't seen it doesn't make it a great movie.
Grease is
a wonderful father-son movie.
Okay, and you do believe, honestly, like if we put you on a lie detector, yes, that Ernest Scared Stupid is the scariest movie you've ever seen.
I said when I was 8 years old, it was the scariest movie I'd ever seen, yes.
All right, what do you got for Bobcat?
We don't have to believe me.
I know.
We don't.
Fine.
Hey, Greg, the only Sanch tweets us, these old dudes, Mason and Ireland, don't know Jack. Goofy movie is elite.
That's right.
Bergman is right.
Yep.
And since he showed up, that Scott Cap. Oh, I can't read that part.
Yeah, the only Sanch likes to stir some pots.
Did you see the stuff I didn't read?
No, I haven't seen it.
You'll
but I can
thank
find
me
it
later. Go ahead.
All right, so let's move on. LeBron wants to be an owner of a team in Vegas when he retires. This is already known. He also just recently bought into AC Milan on a minority stake. Well, his ownership of teams is not ending. He now wants to own pickleball team.
Yes.
He is going in with Draymond Green and Kevin Love on a team in MLP, which is the Major League Pickleball. Smart investment? Is this a smart investment? And if you could own any type... I can't read my own writing. And if you could own a team in any sport, what would you own?
Oh, I'd own an NFL team. They're like printing money. Mm-hmm. Any of the 32 NFL teams. You know, you get a check at the beginning of your season.
Here's all
from
the
TV revenue that covers all of your expenses, pays for every salary, player, non-player, everybody. So everything else, from ticket sales to concessions to local TV rights for your preseason games to merchandise sales, goes right in your pocket.
Yep.
Give me an NFL team.
Dude, which one?
Yeah, pick you.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yeah, they're the one. You're not even a Cowboys fan.
I know, but they're worth $8
billion. They are worth all through. They are worth a lot. So the pickleball thing is interesting.
Yeah, is that a smart investment?
You know what? Pickleball, is that just a game that people play for fun, or is it a game people play like a blood sport?
No, I've been playing it. It's like tennis without moving as much.
I don't have anybody to play pickleball. I want to play pickleball.
Yeah, come on over.
I go to the
Lisa plays all the time.
Lisa Ireland Tennis Club.
Yeah, just call
She'll
her.
She'll teach me some pickleball.
Yep.
Tell her to put you on one of her five tennis coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, good.
Yeah,
good.
And get me some info.
Well, I'll do some reconnaissance work
Thank
for you.
Michael, what do you get to own anything? Any sports team? Who do you want?
Oh, definitely an NBA team because the new TV contract they're going to sign, they're just going to be printing money like the NFL teams. And
you can't have
basketball.
The Lakers. Jeannie won't give them up.
No, she won't
so
give
who,
the Lakers,
who would you take?
Which team would I buy? And yes, Lakers not going to sell me to
How
Warriors.
About the Knicks? You could fix the Knicks.
I would buy. I don't know if I could buy the team, but I would want to buy into the Miami Heat.
Miami
I love
Heat,
Miami.
Yeah.
It's close to the Bahamas.
Close to the Bahamas.
That would be good.
Mickey Arison, you could have free cruises for the rest of your life.
I'd buy the Rams because I get SoFi Stadium in the deal. Stan Kroenke owns SoFi Stadium, so I get that.
Get Jerry World.
You get Jerry World, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
That's part of the deal. That's what I would own. Bergman, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably own a baseball team.
You call Mark Walter and say, what's up, dude?
Yeah, just let me go in there. I mean, they got tons of money.
They do have tons of money.
Jorge
you have to.
Chivas, right?
Nah, Real Madrid.
Well, Jorge, if you got one of those EPL teams, you'd probably get the best deal of all of us.
Yeah.
They're all like, Manchester United is probably worth more than any of these
teams. Which EPL team do you root for?
The Man U. Yeah, Manchester
just
United.
Just Man U. Doesn't everybody just root for Man U? Isn't that like
No. A lot of people root for Chelsea. A lot of people root for Man City.
The Queen was Queen's favorite team was Arsenal.
Which is owned by Stan Kroenke.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of EPL teams that other than Manchester United right now is down. They're not very good.
They're bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would probably take.
What about Tottenham?
They're better.
Yeah. What about Everton?
Yeah, all those. Is Everton still in the EPL?
Yeah,
or did they get
relegated?
Yeah, they're just not that good.
The Toffees. They call them the Toffees. Oh. Everton. All right, Bergman.
Bobcat.
All right, so did you know that New England Patriot backup quarterback Brian Hoyer's real name is Axel Edward Brian Hoyer?
Why doesn't he go with Axel?
That's my question. Axel is a much better name than Brian. His dad's name is also Axel, but why wouldn't you lean into this Axel name?
He would be very, very popular if he was going by Axel. Yep. Nobody goes by Axel. That's a great first name.
And he opted for Brian over Axel?
Yeah.
That's
like being a Brian Kamenetsky.
Yeah. Yeah, Axel Kamenetsky would be much
cooler. Oh, much cooler, yeah.
Well, that's like Michael and I have a friend named Bettina.
Uh-huh.
And she has has two boys. And the boys' names are Ziggy and Zayden. Z-A-Y-D-E-N.
I like that.
I love those names.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like John, Steve, the Michael. Boys.
Jet and Talon.
Yeah. I mean,
Jet and Talon are great names. Yeah. Trudell's kids. Yeah.
Yeah. The traditional names like we all have are kind of blah, blah, blah.
Nobody's going to be a John anymore. Nobody's going to be a Steve anymore. Those names are gone. You know what is a good first name is Mason. I know a couple people with kids named Mason. And I think that's a great first name. I like
One of the Kardashian kids is named Mason.
I'd like to think it was because of me.
So if you have a son, you're going to name him Mason.
I would name, Mason Mason.
Yeah, there you go. Mason Mason.
Mason.
Well, didn't George Foreman name multiple kids George?
George, yeah, multiple George. Yeah.
So when he yells George, who comes downstairs? All of them?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Well, their name's George first, second, so he probably goes, 3, 5.
Right. You know, numbers.
The numbers, yeah.
Your son Michael has the same name as you. How did you come up with Clay and Trace? Are they named after people?
Yeah, Trace was named by Wanda Cooper, Michael Cooper's ex-wife. Tracy was the third son, and Trace. And
Clay, Trey.
Trey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Clay was named by Julie. And
Did she have someone named Clay in her life, or did she just like the name?
She just liked the name with a K. And then my grandson's name has got a strong name, Roman.
Roman, I like. So when I was operating 93QWRQN in Toledo, I named all the DJs.
Okay.
So I came up with the names. We had a DJ that I assigned the names. Right. Your name on the air is going to be Bobby Brady. We had a DJ named Bobby Brady.
Well, you should get credit for A. Martinez.
And A. Martinez, another one, yeah. I mean, you know, if you could pick your name, what would you pick? I actually like your dog's name, your new dog's name.
Murphy
is a great first name.
Yeah, I don't know what I would pick. John Ireland's a good name. People think I made like it's a stage name. It's not. Steve Mason is a stage name.
It is a stage name, yeah.
But it's, I don't.
Axel
is a great name. So tell me if any of you guys would have done this. Mm-hmm. When Mark Cuban bought the Mavericks, he offered, he was trying to drum up interest. It was a Cowboys town. And so he was new on the scene. He said, I will give any first one who does it. It's a one-time offer. Whoever grabs it first gets it. $50,000 if you change your on-air name, if you're a sports radio host, to Dallas Maverick. And nobody took him up on it.
Well, he didn't talk to me.
Would you have done it for 50 grand?
I'd have done it.
But you have to go with it. That's your new name for now till the end of time.
You know, like call me ID
Dallas.
And everything?
I would go just by Dallas.
You change
Dallas.
Your name.
Yeah, or hey, you know,
$50,000? I know that's not a lot of money in your world.
No,
but
Mace,
in my world,
we could call you.
What?
DM. Slip into your DMs.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, but nobody did it.
Nope.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge. Okay, so we all remember a teacher for whatever reason, right?
Yes.
Whether she helped us out or whatever. Well, these kids are never going to forget these teachers, and let me just listen to this.
Yeah.
Sir, here, so if you want to pull out your journeys book.
Okay, we're watching her. She says this is on Zoom.
She farted in class.
Oh, she farted in class?
Oh, and she's like.
And she's on
the
Zoom?
Kid goes, the kid goes,
I think she farted.
They love it.
Oh, God. She's... The kids all know it, too. That's
that was
awesome.
A big one.
It was a big one.
They can't stop laughing.
What is the most embarrassing thing you remember from one of your teachers?
Oh.
Or something that you did on a Zoom call or a meeting or anything like that. The most embarrassing that's happened to you.
Uh-huh. Let's say on a Zoom call.
Mason shirtless in that meeting he had with
Kevin Demoff meeting. So awkward.
By the way, Kev does not care. Kev's like, cool with me. That's what he said.
And that's not what he said.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mason once showed up for a Zoom shirtless in bed with Kevin Demoff of the Rams.
Kev.
What do I remember about something embarrassing? This isn't really embarrassing, but it was weird. I was in high school.
Yep.
And we all knew the principal at my high school at the time. And my parents were going to Vegas, and they said, hey, you want to go to Vegas?
Yeah.
And I said, sure. You know, I didn't do anything. I was 17 years old. And my brother and I are walking down, like, the strip.
Right.
And here comes our principal. Holding hands with a girl who's not his wife.
Oh.
Ooh.
And I thought,
could have been his niece.
And he saw me coming, and I sat, and I just walked up to him, and I said hello, and I kept, well, it was not definitely not his niece. And I kept walking, and I went, huh, did he get divorced? I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah. So that was a weird moment.
I remember seeing I did not like this teacher, Mr. Roshan. He was my sixth grade teacher, my homeroom teacher. And actually, I find this to be really sad. So we go to the grocery store late at night. There's Mr. Roshan stocking shelves.
So he was moonlighting.
Had a second job. Sad when a teacher has to have a second job. I guess this is kind of right. I was in my high school production of Fiddler on the Roof. I broke my leg.
If I were a rich man.
And my teacher said, get back out there. You've got another number. So I
did you?
Did, I did. I absolutely went out there with a broken leg.
Jack Youngblood playing with a broken leg.
Yeah. Yep. I played Perchik. Remember Perchik?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was me. What are you laughing about, Jorge?
We have our own show back here, you know?
Oh, okay. Good.
Good to know. What's next, Bergman?
It's time to break.
Break.
Yeah. Break.
All right.
Break. Break time.
When we come back, Jorge, did you put the Pusha T song in?
Yes, it's in.
Okay. So there's kind of a rule in marketing in companies that you don't mention your competitors.
Correct.
Let's just say Arby's is going the other way.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll share that with you coming up.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.